Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio, live radio show here. We got 24 and a half more minutes to go. Thank you for listening to AFR and wherever you may be tuned in across the country. We also have international listeners, don't we, Ed?
We do. We have Bill and Frank.
Yeah.
Mario.
Actually, we have more than three.
Yeah. We do. Our app can be listened to anywhere around the world that you have a good signal.
You mean an internet signal?
Yes.
Yeah, or not a radio signal.
No, that's correct.
We're not on ham radio. We're on the internet, on the app, AFR app.
Yes.
But we have people who listen. The reason I say that, I know one time we checked a couple years ago, we had a lot of listeners in Korea and Africa and a lot in Europe.
Yes.
By a lot, I mean several hundred, at least
right.
Some of those places, thousands maybe. And we have missionaries and military personnel stationed around the world who listen to American Family
Radio. Our app has really taken off, so we're thankful to God for that technology.
If you travel and you listen to AFR and you lose our radio signal from one of our towers, all you got to do is put the app on. AFR app on your phone takes about 1 or 2 minutes to do that, and then you can listen to us anywhere, and it's clear as a bell because it's not, it's internet based. So check that out. Your cell phone, thousands and thousands of people are doing that now. We hope you will take advantage of that. Well, in studio with us now is Kobe Ferguson. Kobe is president and CEO of how's it pronounced, Kobe?
Maos,
Israel Ministries. He's an Israeli citizen. He's in the U.S. now, did devotion for our staff this morning. Welcome, Kobe.
Hey, great to be here.
Now, tell us your story personally. But how did you get involved in ministry work in Israel? Hold on, Steve Jordahl. excuse me, Kobe. I've got to introduce Steve.
Hey.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
I was wondering if maybe I should go back to my desk.
No, it's okay. My apologies.
That's okay.
Steve. Steve Paisley Jordahl is with us. So Steve, Ed, and Tim.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Kobe. Steve gets his feelings. He's very sensitive.
I know.
See what I'm saying? The snowflake. But anyway, we'll talk about this later, Steve.
Okay.
So Kobe, tell us your story.
Go ahead. So my family traveled a lot in ministry. And my parents are from Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
And I ended up.
Is his microphone cutting in and out? Because it is on my earpiece.
Speak a little louder.
It was cutting in and out. Tell me if it's cutting in and out. Go ahead. So you're from Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, my parents are. We traveled around a lot.
Okay, gotcha.
So long story short, I'd gone to a Bible college. I'd given my life to the Lord after years of kind of trying to find what was true. And my wife had actually come to the same Bible college from Israel. And so I started feeling a heart really turn inside of me for Israel. And I realized the Lord wasn't just connecting me with Israel, but an Israeli. And so her parents,
when is this? Like,
this was in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. So I basically graduated from the school and we moved to Israel and got married, and we now work and live in ministry there in the land. We live in Jerusalem.
You've been there how long?
So more than 25 years.
Wow. Wow.
Most of my life in the land of Israel.
You got children?
Yeah, 5 children, all born and raised inside of Israel around Jerusalem area.
So are they allowed to have dual citizenship, U.S. and Israel?
We're not supposed to talk about it. Yes. Okay. Yes, we are.
Just don't tell anybody.
Yeah, we
certainly don't talk
about
it on national radio.
We can't tell anybody we're Americans and Israelis. Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the arrangements that's
So you've been in Jerusalem that long. Wow. So anyway, you have a ministry, right?
We have a ministry called Maoz Israel.
What does that mean? M-A-O-Z?
M-A-O-Z is the Hebrew word for strength or fortress.
Okay, what do y'all do?
So our vision is to make Israel strong in the Lord through the gospel. So we're
But they're Jewish.
We're Jewish, Israeli believers in Jesus. And so our heart is what we see in the scriptures, all the, you know, Jesus himself, Jewish, early disciples, apostles, all the early believers were all Jewish. I know it's shocking, but they were from the land of Israel. And we know that once again, as we get closer to the end, Israel will be saved. And so we see before all Israel is saved, we had a slogan that at least some must be saved before we get to all.
Ed and then Steve.
Yeah, can you talk just a little bit about what's going on over there? There's a lot of interest, obviously, because there are a lot of supporters of Israel in the Christian community in this country, but also because of the increasing hostility towards Israel, there are a lot of Christians who are wondering about prophetic themes and strands coming together. What's your take on what's happening over there?
Well, first of all, I'm traveling the U.S. right now. I've been telling people about the truth of what happened on October 7th and just the realities, the difficulty of it. I've been kind of shocked that a lot of the Christians are uninformed of the brutality and the things that we experienced that has really affected all of our nation in a very, very deep way. So in the midst of this rising tide of anti-Semitism, it's really crazy that even here in the U.S. you see pro-protest against Israel and pro-Hamas. So basically they're calling the October 7 massacre an act of bravery. These are crazy times we're living in. And I want the church, I want Christians to understand, we've never seen what we're seeing now in the U.S. We haven't seen the levels of anti-Semitism since World War II. And so it's a very serious time we're living in. I don't know if we're in Gog and Magog season of Ezekiel 38, 39 at this point. I don't see that particular scenario because if you read it, it doesn't really line up exactly with what we're seeing. But we do see scenarios. We can see Jacob's trouble and snapshots of it. So I think what is happening now is not the end, but I think any of us who follow biblical prophecy, you read the scriptures, you see, okay, if it looks like a bird and, you know, sounds like a bird, this is very similar to visions and pictures that we see of what will come in the very end. We're not there yet, but I think we're called right now to be prepared and for the church to rise up. You know, some people take a fatalistic view, say, "Oh, what's the point? It's going to happen anyway." But in the meantime, we got a lot of people that will die, and that can be averted. And I think the church has a lot to play in to see who can be saved and God's answering prayers in the meantime.
Talking to Kobe Ferguson, president and CEO of
Maoz
Israel Ministries, based out of Jerusalem. He's traveling the U.S. Right now. And go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Kobe. We're hearing reports even today of President Biden going into the op center where he goes during conflict, and Vice President Harris being taken off the campaign trail to do this, and that in Israel they are bunkering down, expecting an attack from Hezbollah. I think Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that Israel is on a multi-front war, and we're all kind of sitting on pins and needles today. What can you tell me about the threat, and is it as serious as we're kind of guessing?
Well, we don't. On April 13th, just earlier this year, 2024, there was an unprecedented historical attack by Iran. We've never seen this before in history. Iran directly attacking Israel.
With the drones?
With drones, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles. And trust me, this is very real. It's very, this is not deep fake or whatever people want to say. And just the level, you have to realize we have serious attacks from Hamas and 5,000 missiles that came in October 7th and days following. But these missiles are much bigger, much profound, more profound. And my daughter works in an area near where the missiles were being fired upon us. And we do see a miracle that happened that day. I did receive the most eerie text I've ever received in my life that morning. It just simply said, "Abba," as they call me, Abba, that's Daddy.
It's from your daughter.
My daughter?
Yeah.
She just said, Abba, because we were all anticipating an attack around that same time. It just said, Abba, please pray, they're coming. And as she was able to see on the radar, even before others on the news, later we saw it was coming. So we know the attacks are real. We were able to shoot with our military allies at the time, over 99% of those missiles.
The Iron Dome, right?
The Iron Dome shot down, and our allies hit a few down, but most, it was miraculous, guys. I'm telling you, we got word back from our friends and people that we know that work in the Iron Dome mechanisms. They said, we were not supposed to be that accurate. It never is that accurate. And we were able to share with them and say, look, you know, millions of Christians were praying. You have to realize, usually we only have seconds of notice before missiles hit us from Gaza and places that are close, but Iran is much further. So we had hours. Yeah. So we had 5-6 hours, and it was a very weird thing. We're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
You know, do you go to the store? Do you come back? What do you do?
Right.
And we didn't know what they had. So to see those missiles shot down and not be effective, I think has been a thumb in the eye to Iran. And now as we see another one of their leaders assassinated, assumingly, nobody can prove it. Nobody was there.
Right.
By Israel. I think they're wanting to kind of save face. And so I think the attack is very real.
We're talking to Kobe Ferguson, who lives in Jerusalem. And he's the president and CEO of Maoz Israel Ministries. And, you know, I've traveled to Israel around 27 times, I think, something like that. My dad started leading Christian pilgrims to tour Israel back in the 60s. And then I picked that up from him in the late 80s. But anyway, I love Israel, as many of our listening audience do, whether they've been there or not. There's just a spiritual connection, because that's the land of the Bible. And so almost all the stories you read about, not all of them, but 90% of the stories you read about took place in the land of modern day Israel, right? So it's just a place with Christians that love the people of Israel. Israel, listen, even with all that, people might say, well, you Christians are blind to Israel's problems because of your Christian teaching. I don't know. I'm not very articulate about that. And I would say, no, it's beyond that. Yes, we have an affinity for Israel and the Jewish people because of what the Bible says about his relationship with the Jewish people. But Israel, as a nation, has long been our biggest ally in the Middle East. It's a Western-type country. Now, sometimes that's not always good, but it's a land where you have where there's a way of life that's similar to what you vote, you elect. It's a representative form of government. It's not Sharia law like in the Muslim countries. Anyway, so it's go ahead.
So yeah, we have, you know, I picture a dam holding back water, huge dam, and you got villages and things underneath. That is Israel holding back the tide of terrorism, of radical Islam around the world. It's we're an ally to peace-loving nations, Western nations, and Europe, and even in Asia and other places.
Right.
If that dam cracks and breaks, right, it doesn't just destroy Israel. It releases a flood around the world. And yeah, these people showed what they want to do. And they're saying very blatantly, first Israel, now Christians around the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's your website, Kobe?
So an easy way to find us is IsraelNeedsMe.com.
IsraelNeedsMe.com.
Got it.
That's got all about your ministry.
Yes, sir.
All right. IsraelNeedsMe.com. Thank you, Kobe.
Hey, great to be here.
Thanks for stopping by to visit with us. And when are you going back to Israel?
So we're going back pretty soon.
Okay. All right. It's Kobe Ferguson. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Kobe's story about his daughter, and I was talking to him during the break. A lot of times we here in the U.S. think of Israel as a nation, which it is, but sometimes you think of a nation as just being some monolithic thing. Well, it is composed of individual people who have families who become afraid or who don't know, anxious, don't know what is going to happen. That text that he said he got from his daughter, Abba, yeah. You know, Daddy, please pray, they're coming.
I've got some dear friends who live in Nazareth.
Yeah.
Who've been our tour guides for many years, and Allison texts them often just because that's not far from the northern border with Lebanon.
So, folks, anyway, when we say pray for Israel, yes, pray for the protection of the nation, but remember, pray for these individual people, you know, like Kobe's daughter and other family members, and John Riley has family and a lot of friends over there. Pray for the people of Israel.
All right, next story, Steve.
All right, so y'all know that when it comes to football, I am a Las Vegas Raiders fan.
Yes.
Oakland Raiders fan. And the nemesis of the Raiders are the Broncos, right?
Well, they're okay. Las Vegas now, right?
I know. Doesn't matter.
They're kind of nomad. The they're a team of nomads.
They're wandering.
Yeah.
They've been wandering, like, record-wise for years now. But we hate the Broncos. Cannot stand the Broncos.
Yeah, that's...
So... It, but I want to tell you today, it does not cause me any pain to be a Bronco fan. Just today, Randy Gratishar was elected to the Hall of Fame, and he gave his Hall of Fame acceptance speech over the weekend. I want you to hear just a little bit. He was a linebacker for the Orange Crush.
He was a great player.
Caused the Raiders a whole lot of pain. This is part of his acceptance speech, cut 11.
Growing up, I attended church, but the gospel of salvation wasn't taught. That evening in 74, the gospel was explained in four simple truths. Truth one, God created mankind in his image, and that comes from Genesis 1:27. God loves us and offers a plan for our life. Truth two, mankind's problem are from Romans 3:23, that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Therefore, we cannot know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, our spiritual death. And truth number three, God made a way, out of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ's death on the cross, the darkest day in history, and Jesus' resurrection earned Jesus the right to proclaim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. That's out of John 14:6.
A little bit of the gospel going out in Canton, Ohio.
Wow. Now, that's taking full advantage of your one last shot to be in the public eye, and he lays out the gospel, kind of the road.
That was three of the 4 points. Road, he did
but,
the whole.
But it was different scriptures.
Yeah. So,
hey, good for him.
I'm a Randy Gratishar fan. If I'm not a – I can't –
For one day. One day only. Day.
Well, no, I'm a Randy Gratishar fan for good. I like Peyton Manning. I admire – John Elway and everything, but I just can't stand the team. But today, I'm calling off the dogs, and it is Broncos.
Are you going to wear an Orange Crush jersey?
No.
You won't go that far?
I don't think so.
All right. Good on him.
Unless it says John 3:16 on it, then I might.
Good on Randy Gratishar.
All right, sticking with athletics, we now have both men that are boxing in the women's divisions in the Olympics set up to box for gold medals.
This is nuts.
And yes.
They're guaranteed at least
a medal.
A bronze.
Yes. And most likely because they've been ripping through their weight classes.
So we could have a situation. They're both in two different weight classes.
I believe so.
We could have a situation where two biological men who, through tests, through DNA tests, have been revealed to have XY chromosomes.
Yes.
They're male. Two men could win gold medals in the women's boxing in the Olympics.
That's right.
That's insane.
The I pull up this Babylon Bee had a kind of a funny, ironic, poignant headline, which is let me see if I can find it here. Olympic committee brings Olympic committee brings in renowned gender expert to test female athletes for eligibility. I have a picture of Matt Walsh.
Matt Walsh.
Yeah. They said woman who lost to male boxer says everything's fine. She just fell down some stairs.
Ooh. Now, that is a statement that some women
who are battered.
Who are battered by men.
By men.
In a relationship.
That's why I say it's kind of funny, kind of not.
Yeah, that kind of takes your breath away.
Yeah, and because it's
these are men beating up women.
Beating up women. Just because they're in a ring doesn't make it any,
right.
You know.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. So, former President Trump was in Georgia over the weekend speaking. He's speaking there. Georgia's a very important swing state. And
So that's why the Democrats were playing the devil went down to Georgia.
Yeah. Anyway, President Trump, he doesn't like Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia. And so he said this at his you don't have it. I sent it to you at our meeting. Never mind then. I thought you had it. All right, forget that. Anyway, he doesn't like Brian Kemp.
He doesn't.
And he calls him Little Brian.
Yeah, he went full Trump on you should never go full Trump.
Yeah, not a smart move because the former president needs Georgia, and he doesn't need to alienate people who in Georgia who like Brian Kemp.
Yes, he's a popular governor.
Well, he beat Stacey Abrams by seven points just 2 years ago.
So we all kind of had this moment of hope and at the convention when he came out and the first part of his speech, he was reserved, he was calm, he was patriotic, he didn't call names.
Then he said, fooled you.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, I mean, you know, now he seems to have gone back to the old Trump, which everybody, conventional wisdom says is not going to do him any good. But he's never been one to bow to conventional wisdom. So I don't
Listen, he's mad at Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia. They've had a running feud since you know, Trump said you're opening up too early during COVID. Remember that?
Yeah.
And Governor Kemp said, no, I'm not. And he said, Trump said, yeah, you are. You're opening up your economy too early. And they've been in sort of a feud ever since then. And then the election, Trump said, well, you should have done more to stop voter fraud in your state, and Kemp's like going, that isn't my job. It's the Secretary of State. So anyway, they've been into it. But Kemp the other day said to Trump, and not many people do this, he said, you need to focus on beating Kamala Harris like I am and quit talking about my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like throw down the, you know what I'm saying?
Former President Trump did make a comment about Governor Kemp
said, you leave my family out of this.
Yeah.
Talking to Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to patch up the fence there between them
and work
together.
Well, Georgia's a very important state. That's why I'm saying that's an unforced error, in my opinion, on Trump's part. But maybe they will. Maybe they'll patch it up. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.